The Con Guy Show, the official program of theconguy.com, is heard on the We Be Geeks Collective and on sci-fi.radio.
You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
What you gonna do, brothers and sisters, when thousands of geeky fans descend on Atlanta for 5 days and nights of the grandest con of them all? You can prepare by training, eating your vitamins, saying your prayers, and checking out the Dragon Con Report each and every month leading up to the show. Watch or listen and let Dragon Con Mania run wild on you!
We're the Con Guys, and this is the Con Guy Show, coming to you straight from the nerdy heart of Hollywood, California.
And this is Jim with theconguy.com.
She's been here with theconguy.com.
Katie here, aka the Con Girl.
Zordon did not want five teenagers with attitude.
My name is Derek Sam.
I'm Danae Sam, and that's my brother.
We are your home for news, opinions, and interviews from the world of Comic-Cons and fandoms, your ultimate insiders for all things con. Welcome to an exciting week here. We are talking about Guardians of the Galaxy 3. Let's just set it up. Still reeling from the loss of Gamora, Peter Quill must rally his team to defend the universe and protect one of their own. If the mission is not completely successful, it could possibly lead to the end of the Guardians as we know them. It's Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, the swan song of James Gunn's epic space fantasy of galactic Marvel misfits. It's my favorite franchise from Marvel. The franchise that supercharged the careers of Gunn, Chris Pratt, and Dave Bautista. And it also included Zoe Saldana and another adventure. She's so huge. This is kind of, I think, one of her final big epic roles, besides, of course, this other big epic franchise called Avatar that's going on right now. Well, and now Guardians, it's done. Was it worth the wait? Was it a great send-off or a disappointing snoozer? Tonight we're going to talk. And yes, this show has spoilers written all over it. It's all about spoilers. My name is Jim. You can find me here regularly on the Con Guy Show. I am one of your co-hosts tonight. Who do we have with us, Luke?
Cheeseman.
Luke. Oh,
Cheeseman here.
Luke guy, yeah.
Yeah, who's this Luke guy? Cheeseman here, drinking out of a Rocket Tiki mug. Just came back from Tiki Caliente this past weekend, but did see Guardians 3 before, and one of the founding con guys.
All right. And we have somebody who's a specialist in these types of shows. Who do we have else with us? Who else?
Hey, everybody. It's Jake from the Jacoba System coming at you from Ohio. Glad to be back on the show again, talking about, you know, all my favorite stuff, comic book movies, and then we're going to be showing off some cool toys later on, so I'm ready to get into it.
Yeah, we're going to jump right into the Guardians, but this is a full Guardian show, and Jake is going to show us all the new Guardians figurines and action figures that have been released, and they're really cool, some surprising stuff in there. Hey, Luke, before we go on, we're going to test your microphone. Could you say something kind of funny or count down to 10?
Hey, Cheeseman again, introducing myself.
It sounds like you're talking from afar, but we can hear you. It's fine. Yeah. Let's see.
Okay. Are you good now?
That sounds a lot better.
Sounds
good.
Yeah.
Sounds a whole lot better. All right, guys, Guardians 3. And let me just say real quick, we're going to pull a little bit out from the Hollywood Reporter. According to the Hollywood Reporter, James Gunn's Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, it topped the weekend box office with a domestic opening of $118.4 million, which is quite a bit behind the last standalone film in this franchise, Guardians 2. It's also behind last year's Doctor Strange and the Multitude of Multiverse of Madness, but let's be honest, 118 million. When's the last time we kind of laughed at those kind of numbers? The final numbers are higher than Sunday's 114 million estimate, thanks to an extraordinary Saturday to Sunday hold. This film, this is kind of looking good for the film because it looks like it's going to have a lot of hold. Like the film was down only 18% from Saturday to Sunday. That's pretty remarkable. In the Marvel family, only Avengers Endgame and Avengers Infinity War saw the same or slightly better holds. And compared to recent fare, Guardians 3 saw less of a Saturday to Sunday drop than the Super Mario's movie, which saw 28%, which also starred Chris Pratt, which is kind of cool. And what's interesting, and this is one of my pet peeves with, I don't know, back in the day, you know, we trusted, you know, at the movies with what's Siskel and Ebert. We always trust them. These guys were great, but I don't know if I am fully trusting Rotten Tomatoes these days. Rotten Tomatoes has given this movie 82%, whereas the audience score on Rotten Tomatoes is 95%. This movie has an A cinema score and strong exit scores on Post-Track. So in other words, the critics, about 80% of critics liked it, 20% did not. 95% of the audience or higher liked it, and it looks like it has legs. And so
would be interesting if you could take the critics you like and kind of create your own percentage from that. I don't know if that exists, but if they could take, you have like 5 to 10 critics you actually trust that are like logged in there on Rotten Tomatoes or somewhere, and it can accumulate the average
of
people you actually trust. Because a lot of times the problem with the critics stuff is, you know, different people have different opinions of things. So there's some people on there like the Siskels and Eberts that, you know,
well, that's why they're critics. They have opinions. I agree. Yeah.
But then I think there are people there that, you know, don't always probably give the best reviews.
Oh, you got the wrong guy. I'm not with him.
Hey, it actually sounds like him.
This is him. It's his voice.
It's his real voice. Most of the time they have just like a generic.
I love it. And this is my Chris Pratt action fig. Oh, my. It's not really Chris Pratt because he has his face covered up. It's my, you know, Star-Lord action figure and Rocket. Nice. And I do have to say that I do think that Guardians 3 is definitely Rocket's movie. So, Jake, I'm going
to ask Guardians 2, right? The premiere?
Yeah, this was from the Guardians 2 premiere. Let me do it again.
I don't learn. It's one of my issues.
One other name you might know me by. Star-Lord.
There we go.
I'm happy that it's actually his voice, because sometimes you pick up a toy in the store and hit the button to make it talk, and it's just some generic voice. It sounds nothing like the actor because they didn't, you know, give the rights or something.
Even Hallmark kind of messed up the Marty McFly one. Like, I was wondering why it sounded weird, but I think I contacted them. They're like, no. Or I watched stuff back and the voice is weird just in general.
It sounds weird, yeah.
So, let's go straight to Jake. And first of all, Lily, awesome to see you. Thank you for tuning in. Jake, overall, what's your impression of the film? Let's see. Lily says Guardians of the Galaxy. Whoo, it was great. And I don't think it was the last one. Oh, we'll talk about that towards the end of the show.
Yeah.
That's a very good insight. All right, Jake, let's see what you think.
Overall, I mean, I loved it. Sitting down in the theater and having the titles come up and everything, I just had a great sense of happiness, because I was with you guys back in 2018, I think it was, at San Diego Comic-Con, when the news broke that James Gunn had been fired as the director for part 3. And then there was that whole thing, and thank God it was all able to work out, you know? So just sitting there and being like in the open, just like, I'm so glad we're seeing James Gunn finishing this trilogy and not.
I do have to stop you just for a second. Just because of something. Andy Haro said, hello guys. And then he goes, please don't spoil it. I haven't seen it yet. Andy, I have to tell you, my friend, we're going to spoil it. Piece of it.
But not right away.
We'll give you the cutoff when you can.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about it for about our general overview of it for about 5 minutes here with no spoilers. But then we're going to say, all right, Andy, time to turn it off. But I'm glad you're here, Andy. So glad you're here. All right. You were talking about.
Anyway, so glad that he was able to finish the trilogy. And I love all the movies. We'll get into it, obviously. This one, I think, holds up just as well as the other ones. But of all the three, this is a heavy movie. Like, there's some very dark, real, you know, serious stuff in it. And I remember watching it. I guess, again, we'll get into it later, the spoilers. But I remember being like, there's a lot of kids here in this theater. Like, this doesn't seem like as kid-friendly as the other ones.
Oh.
Like, not at all.
We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We will. But yeah, I loved it. The first movie, when it first came out, I wasn't, I knew the name Guardians of the Galaxy, but I had never read a comic of theirs. Was so, you know, like most of the people who saw it was so surprised and happy this movie. And then I really liked the second one. In the second one, I, you know, I shed some tears watching it, and I definitely did this on this third one.
I was going to ask, yeah, did it get you?
There was a couple times. we'll talk about it. Yeah. Yeah. But so what do you guys think? What was your initial response?
Luke?
I enjoyed it. Again, it was a lot of fun. You know, Guardians is always one of the best. You know, they just have so many good developed characters and stuff. And for them to have so many characters in this and try to develop individual storylines and emotional kind of, you know, beats and all that, I think they did a really good job for having the amount of characters that they did, but still kind of having a story kind of within each individual character, as well as introducing new characters and having a strong villain, you know, in it as well, that, you know, definitely had some history with, you know, with the Rocket, you know, which they share in the trailer and stuff. So that was interesting to have, you know, a big kind of bad villain that kind of worked within this. And that was very powerful too. And just them kind of building out their world kind of in a way that where Star Wars can have these kind of quirky looking characters or things, you know, or these little cantina kind of locations and all that. And then to have the place they're living, and it had a lot of that, had some of that Star Wars feel to it, which was kind of cool, but with a mix of, you know, action, you know, comedy, and just, you know, imaginative kind of, you know, scenery and all that kind of stuff. So to pull that many kind of elements together and try to tell like a concise kind of story, you know, and, you know, it all kind of came down to friendship, and it's a good story about friendships.
Mm-hmm. So I, Guardians is my absolute favorite franchise of the Marvel Universe. I love it because I like how irreverent it is. It doesn't take itself too seriously at all. And Jake, I'm with you. I remember when we were together at Comic-Con 2018, when we found out that James Gunn had been, we were walking over. James Gunn was supposed to be, they had a big panel presentation that was going to be happening for Marvel. And apparently it was when we were going to see the new Marvel announcements and whatnot. And it was, you know, no James Gunn, no Marvel, no anything. And that was a pretty awful moment there. And I remember when everyone was talking about, you know, what James Gunn, the reason he had been let go. And let's not kid ourselves. He was let go because of like 10 to 15 year old, well, I don't know how old Twitter is, tweets that he had put out back when before he was ever considered part of the Marvel Universe, when he was working for, what's the name of the studio?
Troma.
Yeah. And he was putting out some pretty distasteful tweets. I read them all. I can't defend the tweets. I'm not going to say I can defend the tweets. They were yucky. But at the same time, I was like, so we're going to destroy this man's life and career because he told some distasteful jokes back in the day, 15 years ago. So I was pretty incensed. I was like, no.
Which comedy was in a different place back then, too.
Yeah.
A lot of comedy is about being offensive. And South Park is very blunt and doesn't really care about any of that. I mean, it's all kind of a joke. It's all in good fun. Everybody.
Yeah, and it's like you said, Jim, it was distasteful jokes, but they were jokes. They weren't his actual opinions. He wasn't coming out saying like, no, I really think this. It's just like, it's like when you joke around with your buddies and say stuff and, you know, obviously, is it right to say those things? Like, no, but you know,
he was trying to be provocative. Yeah, absolutely. Right. He was trying to be provocative. And he was trying to get some people to feel uncomfortable, and he may have crossed the line a couple of times, but I don't want to go too far down the hole. But the thing is, he was the perfect example of how to handle yourself and comport yourself when you have been canceled and when you want to demonstrate to the world, you know what? Okay. I stepped over the line. I need to do better. James Gunn was the perfect example. He never came out swinging like, you're all wrong and you're terrible. But he was quiet for a while. He was very respectful. And a year later, he's back in the Disney fold. And I can't be happier because my opinion of Guardians 3 was absolutely fun. I think they layered on the humor a lot. It's the humor was laid on in some of the most, you know, violently ferocious parts, and I loved it. I'm not saying I loved every piece of the movie. I have one big problem with the movie, and me and Luke talked about it, that I'll get to in just a second. But overall, the humor was good. The action was great. The story was good. I don't know if it really spelled the end of the universe as we know it type like things. Although the High Evolutionary, I guess that he could have, if in the comics, you know, if he carries out what he's carrying out, he causes quite a bit of trouble. It always strikes me that when these giant events are happening, that none of the other superheroes, Captain Marvel shows up or why not to help, you know, we're destroying worlds here and stuff, but let's remember the universe is a big place and they can't all be everywhere at once. So, some of the things that I really thought that stood out that I really loved, I'm telling you, this guy, this was Rocket's story. And it was heart-wrenching, and it was encouraging and inspiring, because Rocket is somebody who doesn't know really where he comes from. He had no friends. He was the biggest of all the misfits. And we see an early family of Rockets, and then we see his current family that he has with the Guardians, and we see his kind of like taken as a whole. You look at Volume 1, and then Volume 2 especially really pushed it, when he was bonding with Yondu, and Yondu goes, "You're just like me. You know, we're just a bucket of, you know, nothingness, and I know who you are." And they bonded in the second movie, because we start to see Rocket, and in this one it comes full circle. So my money is on the fact that Rocket, we got the full story of Rocket through three movies, and I loved it. Peter Quill's story, was interesting. I think part of his story came out of nowhere in this movie, but that's, you know, that is what it is. But we'll talk about that in a second. I think besides Rocket, my favorite character in this movie has got to be Nebula. She just became, I never thought that she would be the character that in this movie you're having almost the most heart for and the most love, and she's just affection. So anyways.
Well, I think that's because of a lot of this movie has to do with kind of like seeing something as not perfect and kind of taking it apart. And she was kind of like, you know, she didn't go with the High Evolutionary, but Thanos did kind of the same thing with her, where he kept trying to perfect her by rebuilding her. So she really tied well to kind of the storyline and relating kind of what was going on with the characters and what the villain was trying to do.
Speaking of the villain, and Andy, I just want to tell you, we're going to probably start talking about specifics of the movie now. So we'll give you about 15, 20 seconds. Oh, let me answer your question first. Andy said, "I also want to know how you guys are doing with the writer's strike." Andy's referring to the fact that the Writers Guild of America has gone on strike. Luke and I are both members of the Writers Guild of America. Yay! And we are both on strike. So let's make a lot more podcasts, shall we? No, it's a... Andy, we hope for the best outcome between both parties. Mm-hmm. I know that there's good people on both sides of this argument. It's not an argument. Both sides of the negotiations. So they're bargaining and negotiating, and I believe that they're the best for both parties will come out. So you got about 10 more seconds, Andy, and then we're going to talk about the High Evolutionary. We're going to talk about the villains.
Well, do we want to talk a little bit about other things we like just in general?
Yeah. Go ahead, Cheese.
Yeah, Jake, was there anything else you liked in general first?
Yeah, and you can go ahead and break down. You can talk spoilers now if you want to.
Yeah, like you said, we get, you know, it's something they've been kind of hinting at and teasing in a way since the first one, is like, you know, where did Rocket come from? What's up? Because in the first movie, you see when they're in prison, Peter sees him like taking off his shirt or something. He sees those like bolts or kind of those things on his back, and there's always like weird, like, what's that about? And they never really delve into it until this one, and they really delve into it in this one. So that was nice to see a character, you know, so much of this, of his, you know, character expanded upon and finding out his backstory. Obviously, because when the even though we've seen these characters since you know, we've had them in Thor, Love and Thunder, and the Avengers movies and stuff, but the last Guardians movie, what was that, 2017? Was that the when that one
I
came
think
out?
So, yeah.
Yeah, so it's been a while, and then so that was just so fun to have everyone back in a Guardians movie. Obviously, James Gunn, I think he's just a master writer and filmmaker, so his movies are so, the dialogue is so funny, all the characters are so lovable, and you know, even the villains, you in a way like love these villains because they're just like, you know, they're so bad, you're just like, wow, I can't believe like how, you know, well these characters are written. So everything about it, really, there wasn't much I disliked. There's a couple of things we can talk about it again.
Now with the villains, and you talking about, are you talking more about Adam Warlock, or are you talking about
Adam Warlock, and even sometimes, you know, like the High Evolutionary, like there's characters who are so just, you just mm-hmm. despise them. Sorry, my camera went up for a second. Can you guys see me
there? Yep,
we see you.
That's weird. Sorry about that. But yeah, he's like a villain. If you know, you hate the villain so much, you enjoy watching him in a way. It's like a weird thing where you're just like, wow, this character's great, even though you just want like the worst stuff to happen to him. Like by the end of the movie, you're just like, oh my God, just like get rid of this guy. But it's the sign that the actor is doing a great job if they're playing a villain and just make you like hate them, you know.
Hey, can you tell us about who the villain is, the main villain of the movie?
So they never, I don't think he, did they ever have anything about him in the other movies? I don't think so. They never showed anything.
Did Brock even mention much, or was this all just kind of the mystery that's been revealed?
I think it was all the mystery because,
can put this up here? Derpy Entertainment. So forget Toy Story 2 and 3 for toy brutality. James Gunn, hold my glasses, CGI animal brutality on catnip drugs. Okay.
Yeah. Not very kid friendly.
Yeah.
But yeah, tell us about this.
He's basically a scientist who wants to create like the perfect, I guess, species, culture, environment. So he's taking animals and experimenting on them and giving, you know, all the animals they've shown were earth animals, you know, like kangaroos and raccoons and rabbits and stuff, and making them smart, making them, where they have like human futuristics, yep. Like they're mm-hmm. kind of like anthropomorphic, whatever.
Right.
And his whole reason to do that is he wants to create this society. Did they ever really explain why he wanted to do it?
Trying to create the perfect world.
Yeah.
He's trying to take he's the high evolutionary, so he's evolving, you know, existence to its highest potential is what he's doing.
Like he wanted peaceful animals or things or just perfection, you know, not necessarily he was doing evil things to get peace and perfection.
Right. So. And it's, you know, there's a lot of commentary you could take off of that, the animal abuse, which a lot of stuff happens like that in real life, like animal testing and just awful things like that.
The high evolutionary was a geneticist who sought to create a perfect species out of what he viewed as lower life forms and to build his own utopia.
Right.
So that's what he was doing. You said animals, but we later find out it's not just animals he has up in there. He's got hundreds of children.
He created the I can't think of their names. What's the what are they called? Like
the gold people.
Yeah, I can't think of the names. The gold people from
Guardians 2, the perfect whatever they are.
Oh man, sorry.
Yeah, I'm keep going.
Yeah, but anyways, you get those characters returning from part 2. And one of the mid-credit teases was that they were going to show Adam Warlock, who's this, you know, popular comic character for years. And we finally get the live-action version of him. He is sent to by the High Evolutionary and the Gold Lady, to get Rocket, because he was the one test subject that surpassed all of them in his intelligence, and he was able to find out how to make these perfect creatures. But the villain, the high evolutionary, was clear that he was never going to allow Rocket to survive in all these animals that they were testing and making these weird hybrid. Like they had like a rabbit who had robotic legs, and they had a walrus and like a wheelchair kind of thing. So there's very disturbing images, for a Disney movie to see these animals. Like, I'm trying to think. It reminded me of, I don't know if you guys ever saw this movie. There's a movie that came out years ago called Virus with Jamie Lee Curtis. You ever see that? Where this computer system takes over these human bodies and creates like, you know, perfect versions or like enhancing humans. So they're all robotic and they'll have like a robot arm and stuff. And they're all like crazy. That's what it reminded me of, just the look of that. And it's like, it's weird to see organic animal with like with this stuff. So Rocket's, you know, he has things on him, but he's not really like disturbing looking, you know.
He's the least disturbing of all the animals that we encountered in this. By the way, I just want to bring it, the gold woman, that was Aisha. She was the golden high priestess of the sovereign. A race created by the high evolutionary.
So you find out that Rocket was this, you know, a baby raccoon who was subject to these terrible tests and, you know, just basically tortured to make him who he is. And even though he becomes smart and, you know, has like a consciousness and everything, you find out that the high evolutionary has this like sinister plan to create this stuff. And then just like all of his friends, his other animals, he's like, we're just going to destroy them all because, you know, we don't need them. Because they're not perfect. They're like weird mixes of, you know, basically like they're rough drafts of what they want to have. So real tragic, again, we'll get into the spoilers, real tragic scene where Rocket is the only one to survive
And escape. Well, let's talk about that for a second. You're talking about a race of like the high evolutionary. He's been kind of in the background for the first three Guardians movies because we don't know where Rocket came from. He's kind of like the lead project. Something about him stands out, and the high evolutionary wants Rocket. And the sovereign, the race that was created by the high evolutionary, creates Aisha. She creates Adam Warlock. It's supposedly the highest of the sovereign race who goes on a hunt to find Rocket. So the majority of the movie takes place on, it's like an alternate Earth, another Earth, a planet that looks kind of like Earth, populated with basically like, it's like nothing but criminals and whatnot. It's all the misfits of the high evolutionary. And he has plans to wipe out the planet and wipe out any planet that gets in his way as he tries to recreate this. So that's kind of where we're at. We're going to zoom in a little bit. So what happens is that starts the action. Is Rocket gets he gets shot, he gets injured very badly, and they find out that he has a kill mechanism within him. If they try to pull it out or operate on him, it will kill him. So they're like, okay, the only way to save Rocket, and I don't want to give away every piece of the movie, but the only way to save Rocket is to find out who made him and get rid of this kill switch. So they go on the hunt for the high evolutionary, and that's kind of where it goes, and that's where the family of Guardians go. We go to this planet, and let's go ahead and talk about some of the stuff that maybe did not work for us. And I just because I don't want us to go too long, Cheeseman, let's go ahead and throw out something that didn't work for you.
Well, just real quick so I can kind of tie in the two things.
Wait. Can we just say this, though? I apologize for interrupting. I just want to get Derpy Entertainment. He's as a DC fan mostly. He had hope in the James Gunn for the DC because of the DCU version vision. Because James Gunn is half. It's with Peter Safran, I think the guy's name is. They're taking over the DC vision for Warner Brothers Studios. And he says after seeing this and how he handled the balance of tones and presented it in Volume 3, he was wondering why is anyone even worried about Superman Legacy after this? It's kind of a good point. He says, I'm just saying it's in good hands. And then He last comment, I thought Will Poulter as Adam Warlock for what was given to him was pretty good. All right. I agree. I think I didn't have a lot of – when they first announced Will to be Adam Warlock, I was like, doesn't really look like what I imagine Adam to be. But, boy, he gave it a performance. All right, Cheeseman, go ahead.
So, just kind of tie what I like and didn't like a little bit together. You know, they had a lot of kind of characters kind of pair up, like, you know, Drax and Mantis. It's been good over these films, especially these past couple, and then with the other stuff, their relationship and their friendship, you know, I think they've done a really good job with kind of the dynamic between them. But then, as we'll talk about, them kind of, I didn't see the evolution of her wanting to kind of leave off and be kind of her own person, which we'll probably go more into about everybody kind of splitting up at the end, big time spoiler.
My biggest complaint of the movie.
Yeah, and then you have like Star-Lord and Gamora. I think it was good balance that they're doing of kind of developing slowly that, you know, their relationship about him trying to get her to kind of remember-ish or more. She's not going to remember because she's from kind of an alternate kind of universe of it or different kind of timeline that crossed in. So she has no memory of them being together. But I like kind of the evolution of that, of them kind of falling back for each other. And they didn't quite, you know, give it the full happy ending. There's a little bit of a something between them, so
they kind of did.
They can kind of develop it in the future, and they did kind of announce at the end that, you know, Star-Lord would be returning, whatever that means exactly.
It was nice that she kind of, you know, obviously she doesn't remember or know because it was another version of her, mm-hmm. but it was also it's nice that they kind of showed Peter kind of just like accepting it and kind of moving on. And it's sad, but it's like, it would seem less, I guess, real to have her all of a sudden just like, okay.
It's like, you got to earn that and to do it that rushed, which there was kind of a wink at something. She at least kind of had the respect, or there's a little bit of a spark there, and her going back with the Ravengers that could develop into its own kind of thing. And then the Guardians that they kind of paired up. So I feel like we haven't seen the last of these things. I feel like they're going to make appearances and other things, if not have their own kind of standalone stuff, which I think would also work good as some TV series on Disney Plus if they go that direction with some of these. You know, why Sylvester Stallone still, you know,
have they announced any Guardians like show or anything? No.
Nope. Okay. Not yet.
Yeah, okay. So we'll see what happens kind of with all that. And I think, you know, Baby Rocket was definitely kind of, that was cool. It probably won't be the level of popularity of a Baby Yoda, but I think there will be
some. Or a Baby Groot.
The Baby Groot. Groot really was a standout character, I think, in this. They really did a lot with kind of his morphing. And really,
hey, Luke, we're losing your sound a little bit.
Am I here still?
It's getting all muffly for some reason. Let's try it again. There you go. Perfect. Okay.
But I think they did a lot with Groot, and then developing, now he could fly, was able to hold multiple guns, save the day multiple times. So they really upped kind of his skill set and everything. So I definitely liked kind of what they were doing there. Overall, again, you know, we're talking about kind of what sometimes I think films get a little too long. This felt maybe about 15 minutes too long, being 2.5 hours. But that's also my kind of preference. I don't like usually when things go too long, you know, going to a movie and something feeling tight where you're just like, oh man, I can't wait to watch that again. But it being this length makes it a little harder to be like, oh, I'm going to go back next week and see it again. Although I do look forward to my next time watching it, because I feel like this is one of those movies you'll grow to like and appreciate more. Because so far I like the first two Guardians more than this. And the biggest weakness, even though this movie was about Rocket, was I felt we lost a little bit of his personality. I'm glad we got to see the softer side of him. And I feel like from a psychologist kind of standpoint, they would be like, that's the moment that really broke, you know, him as the softer kind of person, of watching his friends die and going, he kind of, that's where he snapped and he kind of became that new Rocket. It would have been nice if they would have shown a little of him and Groot maybe working together. And that's maybe there was a hardness to the world and to people or friends, and maybe because that was probably his first friend after all this happened. It would have been nice to see that kind of development of their relationship, because I think that was after going through what he went through and kind of being this loner in space, I feel like that was a missed opportunity there.
We kind of talked about it, but you know, spoiler, but majority of the movie, Rocket is like on life support, and he doesn't really come back until more into the, you know, third act. There's a lot of, all of his stuff, most of his stuff in the movie are him, I guess it's him dreaming and like remembering in the flashbacks. That's why we get like the kind of, you know, the dual timelines, kind of like Godfather 2 almost, where it's like you have the main story, then it flashes back to like throughout the movie.
It's like Boba Fett in the tank some too.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, Boba Fett and Rocket. Yeah.
But I'll just say again, I think, Jim, you mentioned it earlier that your favorite character was Nebula. And I think that she definitely had one of the best character developments throughout the three films, especially this third one. You see some real emotion from her about her fellow teammates, where in the previous movie she's very cold and like, you know, emotionless, and this time you really get to see her kind of break out of that character.
Yep. I'm gonna say what my main complaint was, and I felt this, it was at the end of the movie, and I super spoiler warning, my big complaint, and I mentioned it right as we were leaving. By the way, I liked the movie, did not dislike it. I really liked the movie, but I felt they missed the landing, because we had two and three fourths movies, like first movie, second movie, most of this movie. The whole gist of the movie is Gamora has no family anymore. Peter has no family. Groot and Rocket have no family. You know, Dave Bautista's character, what's his name?
Drax
has no family. So because of that, they all find each other and they are a family. At the end of the first movie, you feel they have cemented the relationship. They're going to make it in this universe together, in this galaxy together. The second movie, when they added Mantis into that, and she became such an integral part of the whole overall storyline. And then we get the Christmas special, which came out this past year. We find out Mantis is the sister of Peter. Through this movie, Peter, it's heart-wrenching because they are fighting for the lives of their friends. They are, and we see some, you've heard there's a lot of moments to make you cry, to make you feel just disgusted and stuff. But overall, they held together as a family. And then how does it end? Peter, oh, I'm going to go visit Earth. I'm leaving you guys behind. Mantis, oh, I'm leaving you guys behind. Gamora, oh, I've got this other group. I'm leaving you guys behind. That 1 3-minute sequence where they all go their separate ways almost just ruined the movie and almost the trilogy for me, because the theme, and we're going to have people that will completely disagree with me. And thank you, Lily. I thought about this. Yeah. So and some people say, but you know, family is about growing up where you can go out on your own. And I get that part where you mature to a part, like maybe this is like they're all siblings and they're growing up and they finally have to go out into the world. I don't know if this were, I'm telling you, Fast and the Furious Part 10 is coming out and we're not just friends, we're family. That is the theme, man. You don't mess with the theme.
Them and that one all separate at the end.
Here's this. Peter did go and find family. Gamora went, and we are seeing, this is not the same Gamora, the one we knew is dead, but this Gamora, she now has a family, an unconventional family, so I get it. The biggest perplexing one was Mantis. That came out of nowhere.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, they should have developed that longing she had to kind of find out who she was. That was just like, well, you know, I never really got to find myself outside of Ego and this, so I'm just going to go exploring. Like, where? What?
Yeah, you'd think that she would at least say, Peter, you're my brother. Can we explore being family? I don't know. So that's my only complaint about it. It was a big complaint.
I didn't take. I mean, yeah, it was sad. I have a
second complaint, though.
Oh, I was going to say, it's sad to see them, you know, break up. But you know, even Rocket, at the beginning of that scene, he's like, "So what? You're leaving?" And he's like, "No, I'm not leaving like for good. It's just I need to take some time to do this." You know, I don't know. To me, it didn't seem like he wasn't like, I'm never seeing you guys again kind of thing. You know?
This is the final film.
Well, he said at the end of the – or in the mid-credit seat, it did say – what did it say? It said the legendary Star-Lord will return.
Star-Lord will.
Right.
I think David Batista's done. I think Rocket's done.
Right.
For one thing, Rocket had a short life anyways. He was going to die. I don't know about that. By the way, I don't want to if there some characters were killed in this. I'm not going to tell you if they were major characters or super minor characters. We'll leave that to you guys. But I agree with you. Like, I hate to interrupt you, Jake, but I mean, and I apologize for doing that. Yeah. But I agree with you. They said Star-Lord's coming back.
Yeah.
Star-Lord has joined other teams in the Marvel Universe before, so yeah. I think that's where we're going to see him.
And they did end it with the Guardians still being around, but it's a new group with Rocket, yeah. with Rocket as the leader, and Groot, and who was Adam Warlock, and Cosmo the dog, which was another big fun part of the movie. Very popular character. Got a lot of laughs. Got most of the biggest reactions throughout the.
A lot of laughs, but a big part of the grand finale. I loved that they pulled Cosmo in. That was so great.
Yeah. A lot of fun cameos. Like, you know, you had Seth Green as Howard the Duck.
Wait, did we see Howard the Duck again?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When they were all playing whatever cards or poker or something, and they kind of go around the table and he's there playing with them. And when Cosmo's trying to get Kraglin to take back that he called her a bad dog.
Oh, okay. Full disclosure. If that was right in the very middle part of the movie, I dozed off for like 5 minutes. No, I did. It was a long movie and I had to get up and we were stuck in the middle of an IMAX row and I had to climb over everybody to get out to use the bathroom. But let's talk about one thing. And then we do kind of have to wrap up this.
Nathan Fillion too was a great cameo.
Nathan Fillion was great.
Yeah, that was really funny. Yeah.
Can we talk? There's one thing that I started dozing off and all of a sudden, there was one thing that I popped open. The F-bomb in a Marvel film uttered by Star-Lord. Let's talk about that. Cheeseman?
To use a line like that and kind of a big thing, like it felt a little like not the best place if they're going to do it. Because they have, like aliens, like leave her alone, you bitch. Or like, what did she say? What's the line from Aliens?
Oh, the movie Aliens.
Get away, from her, you bitch.
Yeah. Like stuff like that feels like more of like an earn line or at the end of Jaws, but for him to just casually like open the effing door, say that, I just feel I'm not offended by it, but I feel like kids who look up to Chris Pratt, like that, especially because kids get in a car like every day. Like, I just hope that doesn't up the kids just like, oh, I heard a movie, like, and say that
Super Mario Brothers and Star Lord, right?
Yeah, it seemed a little out of place, but I think it was one of the biggest, it got one of the biggest laughs in my screening. It got a huge, everyone thought it was fun, but Marvel, they've done it before with Logan, especially in the last Logan movie, but
Logan was rated R.
It's not Disney, but it is all now,
They did it in one of the final X-Men movies.
Yeah, they did it. They did it in like First Class. I think that might've been the first one they did it Wolverine's cameo. So, It's not needed. It's more of just like them kind of being a little, a little edgy.
But Jake, I think it goes back to what you said about this film, probably more than the others, felt a little less kid friendly. Mm-hmm. Even though the first one did carry, they were saying asshole, they were shooting the bird, they were making jokes about the painting, which was a very adult joke. I do know that Chris Pratt was interviewed about this and they said, what was it? They said, you're going to have to apologize to Samuel L. Jackson because now you've got the first F-bomb in Kevin Feige's Marvelverse.
he almost said it in Infinity War. Remember when one thing before we move on, I wanted to ask you guys, throughout all these movies, one of the biggest stars has always been the music. What did you guys think about the music in this one?
It was the least memorable for me.
You think so?
Except for when they threw back to the first song that Peter ever had on his headsets in the first Guardians. I thought that was classy how they did that.
What I liked about it was, in the first two movies, all he has is his cassette tapes, and it's all songs that he knew from when he was a kid. So that's why all the songs are like, you know, the 70s and I guess some of them 80s. And then he gets the, what was it, not the iPod, but the Zoom. Like, yeah, he gets that in at the end of the second one. And now he's like expanding the, you know, the musical horizon. And he's listening to stuff like the Flaming Lips, and he's listening to they're listening to Radiohead and like Space Hog and stuff like that. So it was cool that they're moving into the 90s and making that much more of the theme, I guess, than the other ones were more 70s. So it was a nice.
So probably connected to you and Luke a little bit better.
I would have liked more 90s songs or them to do a little more with it. I did like the Creep and them doing that acoustic version was
right. I thought when they were playing that, I thought that's when we were going to hear F-bomb because I heard early on, I heard like, oh, they're going to drop the F-bomb. And then when that song was playing, like, oh, it's going to be in this. But then it was like the acoustic version where instead of saying, he says very instead of the F word,
Here's some of the songs that they played, apparently. I've got the song list from Guardians 3. In the Meantime by Space Hog, 1984. Since you've Been Gone, 1979. Do You Realize the Flaming Lips from 2002, actually. Dog Days Are Over. Remember that? That was kind of like interesting choice.
Florence and the Machine,
Reasons, Earth, Wind, and Fire. This Is the Day by The. I'm Always Chasing Rainbows by Alice Cooper. I Will Dare, The Replacements, and a few more.
The best one was No Sleep Till Brooklyn, Beastie Boys.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that was okay. I got to give you that one. That one was pretty great in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good stuff.
All right, guys. We got to wrap up this section with, where do you think, okay, real quick, one sentence, your overall opinion of the movie, and where does it go? Where do these characters go from here, if anywhere?
Wow. Okay. I'd say go see it. You know, like I think it is something that'll kind of grow on people. You know, it isn't as good in my mind as the first two, but I don't know. I feel like after watching it again, and you know, once it's on Disney Plus and part of the thing, you can just flip on in the background. I feel like it'll be a movie that's definitely rewatchable. But I just wish there's more Rocket jokes and all that. But I feel like I wish they were still together, but I'm interested to see where they take Star-Lord and Rocket and all them and where these different and what they'll do with Adam Warlock now that they took him from being kind of a villain to kind of now like on their side, which I kind of wish he would have, like they would have had that moment where they're cornered by, you know, the High Evolutionary and like almost seemed like they were and then Adam would have came in that scene, I feel like would have been cool, although it's Rocket's movie and some of these other characters, so it maybe worked better that he just saved Peter at the end.
But I love how they kind of turned Adam.
Yeah.
Realized that they had big hearts and everyone deserves a second chance. That was
cool. He was a funny character that, you know, he's supposed to be this like the perfect, most high being, but he's kind of stupid. Like, you know, it's like, he's so powerful, but he's just like, you know, when his mom tells him to like, basically
like Drax,
rough up the guy. And he's just like, show me in business. And he just like, destroys him. She's like, what are you doing? I didn't mean like kill him. And he's just like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah. Because I feel like they should have mentioned, you know, his mom getting killed. I mean, we saw the moment that it happened, but he didn't really bring it up again.
Yeah. It would have been nice to have him like have some kind of moment where he's like, I trusted, you know, him, but he wanted to do was, you know, he was going to kill us all anyway. So it's like, you know,
well, he was like, the thing I don't quite get is he was a little bit of a created being. His mom being killed, I guess that's his mom. She produced a cocoon somehow, but I don't know how much affection they had for one another. So, you know, I get what you're saying, Luke. I do think it would have been he saw his mom get exploded, but there seemed to be no emotional moment for him, which I
think they did that in Guardians 2, and they did that in, you know, so Captain America's Civil War with Robert Downey. He's like, you killed my mom. Like,
there was
moments that you'd fight somebody or.
You brought it up. Like to you. Tony Stark, you killed my mom. Peter Quill in part two, you killed my mom. This would have been cool. They should have. Yeah. You killed my mom. Yeah.
Yeah. There was no dialogue, but there was a lot of like him just like looking angry and sad, but like we, you know, assume what he's feeling, but he never actually says it to really drive it home, you know?
All right, guys, we got to kind of go quick here. Jake, where do you think it goes from here?
I mean, it can go a lot of different ways. You can get movies about the new Guardians. You can, they already said that Star-Lord's coming back, so I assume he's going to leave Earth and team up with someone else. I mean, you could, you, it seems like the way Disney Plus is, it seems like it'd be most obvious to like make series of them. But again, is a series for each character overkill? You know, it's like, how are they going to do it? So, right.
It says, it did say Peter Quill's coming back. Star-Lord's coming back. But I also know that Chris Pratt has said if James Gunn wants him in DC universe, he's going. So we'll see. We'll see.
So I think he has the flexibility to pop into movies. And like Jake said, I think, like I said earlier, I think there could be the new Guardians TV series and also the Ravengers. I feel like that could be a TV series.
Here's where I think it's going. My predictions. We will see a Rocket-led Guardians movie. We're going to see that. I think that's going to happen. We will see a Ravagers movie with Gamora and Sylvester Stallone's character. I think that's going to happen.
That'd be fun, yeah.
I really think that's going to happen. Hold one second. Also, I do think... I'll be careful because Andy's back. Andy, no more spoilers. You know what I do think we're going to see? James Gunn has suggested that if there is a way to do a crossover between DC and Marvel, I think that might be in the cards going forward. Because back in the day, and sometimes now, I remember DC and Marvel will do crossovers. What if Star-Lord is the one that does the crossover somehow? You know, James Gunn, you know, directing some movie or some event that pulls the two universes together. I think that would be fantastic. Yeah,
no, it will change everything if they can make that happen.
Mm-hmm. All right, Jake, I don't want to end the show without a full Guardians overview, and I want to show some things. Jake has sent us over some images of the Guardians characters that have just come out. Jake, I'm going to go through these, and if you can tell us about them.
Sure. Yeah, so these are from Hasbro. This is the latest line from the Marvel Legends action figures. So these are 6-inch scale. There you have Peter Star-Lord, and they all have that same outfit. It's not really a spoiler, but yeah, at one point in the movie, they all wear this similar outfit,
kind of like leather spacesuit kind of thing.
Yeah,
look at the face. Look how
the face is on the nice face. And detailed.
Yeah, that's a good. Yeah, they finally did a really good head sculpt for Chris Pratt. There we have Rocket.
I love it.
Yep, and then there's Drax.
Is it close up of Drax? Look at that. Yeah,
pretty good. Pretty good. Nebula. She's a really cool figure. I should have sent another picture too, because she has you can remove her arm and you can attach the arm that has like the gun and the blade and stuff.
Oh, nice. So there's
a couple different options there.
And she did a lot of like T-1000 type things in the movie, which is cool. There's
Mantis.
We have Mantis there.
This is cool. Now this is the one that's really cool right here.
Mm-hmm. So this is actually a deluxe figure. He's a much larger scale than the other ones, so he's a little bit more.
This is Groot.
He comes with
this,
some.
And you said that Groot comes with this character.
He comes with the little baby Rocket.
Baby Rocket that we saw in the film. Yeah, and then this is the cool surprise.
Yeah, character. Big wings. And he also comes with like the guns and maybe the arms.
Yep.
But does he come with the spider leg head part? That was cool. Right.
Yeah. Kraglin there with the arrow
with the arrows flying around. I think that's so cool. They got the arrow flying around with the trail of the arrow behind it, which is cool. And this is one of the surprise characters right here.
Oh, wait, I'm not going to bring it up if Andy's watching, but there was a cameo, another cameo that happened in the movie. This, which is very cool.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm.
There's the Adam Warlock figure, really cool. I love the gold, I guess, plastic they molded him with. It looks really, really cool, like kind of chromey, like,
yep. And one of everyone's favorite new characters.
Yep, and there's Cosmo.
Cosmo.
That's the dog. Awesome. And she's actually the Build-A-Figure from this line. So every figure, I think, except for Star-Lord, every figure comes with a piece of Cosmo. So when you buy all the figures, you can build the dog.
Wait, why is that?
Because they want to sell them.
Exactly. It's a marketing
thing. I know the marketing piece.
But, I mean, people buy them. They'll put together and then sell them on eBay. So there's, I think, like the first Mantis figure was a build a figure from the Guardians 2 line. So this line was the first time we're getting a Mantis, and those are only ones they've released or announced so far. So there's, yeah, we never got a Gamora from this line. And there's also, you know, they didn't do the High Evolutionary. There's a couple big characters like, oh, I can't believe they didn't give us that
Comic-Con exclusives, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm surprised. All right, guys, this has been an awesome hour talking about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, the final film in the trilogy of James Gunn's epic masterpiece. Masterpiece of space fantasy from the Marvel Universe. My name is Jim. You can find me at James D. Fry on Instagram, Jim Fry LA on Twitter. Cheeseman.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Cheese on Couch and also theconguy.com.
Jake?
You can find me on Instagram at the Jacobus System, and you can find me on the Con Guy podcast every once in a while.
Yes, you can. And Star-Lord?
Put the guns down and step away from the tree and raccoon.
I love it.
Come from a planet of outlaws.
One more.
Oh, come on. But you do have a plan, right? Or is that just another thing you made up?
All right. And Luke, Cheeseman, we'll have to tweet out the video that you were in, the Star-Lord video. I was just looking for it. I couldn't find it on the website. We'll have to find that probably on Instagram or something. Luke was in this cool Star-Lord video where a bunch of different actors portrayed Star-Lord dancing to. What was the song?
Come on, feel the noise.
That was Come on, feel the noise. All right, guys, this has been an awesome show this week. We encourage you guys to go out and see Guardians of the Galaxy more than part three, more than a couple of times, because it's well worth it. Don't sit in the middle of the aisle if you're in the IMAX, which the IMAX is the way to see it.
Don't take young kids to see it.
Yeah.
And bring some tissues because you'll need some.
Yeah, there's some sad stuff. We didn't talk about how sad it gets, but there's some pretty sad stuff. All right, guys, see everybody later. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to The Con Guy Show, the official program of theconguy.com. Find us on the Weeby Geeks Collective or anywhere you listen to podcasts. And now on sci-fi.radio, Saturdays at 4 o'clock Eastern, 1 o'clock Pacific, both AM and PM. That's 9 o'clock Greenwich. It's sci-fi for your Wi-Fi.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.